turning the corner a little bit. 22 points last night on 9 of 11 shooting off the bench. Tom Thibodeau, happy.
I just think the rhythm of guys moving the ball, and he's also making better decisions. He's taking the right shots. And when he should shoot, he's shooting. And when he should pass, he's passing. And I think that's putting him in better rhythm also.
46 points in his last two games compared to 45 total points over the course of the previous six the Bulls played. They got the whole week off. They'll be back to work Friday in Auburn Hills against the Pistons. Jimmy Butler dealing with that shoulder injury, didn't play last night. He's out of the skills competition tomorrow night in New York. As of now, he will try and play on Sunday in the 64th annual NBA All-Star Game. The Rising Stars game is tonight in Brooklyn. Niko Mirotić will play for the World Squad. And Carmelo Anthony says he is very likely to shut it down for the season after the All-Star break. Blackhawks hoping to end a two-game skid tonight when they host the New Jersey Devils. Corey Crawford is in net going against Corey Schneider. Michael Roosevelt is going to be out because of that shoulder injury. Ben Smith is a scratch. And Ryan Hartman, a local product from Dundee, will be making his debut for the Blackhawks tonight. Kyle Chupes, Illinois, with a 21-zip run to pull away from Michigan in overtime last night, but a tough one awaits with a trip to Madison on Sunday afternoon to face off against the fifth-ranked Wisconsin Badgers. Tonight, just one game of note in the area. Valpo playing host to Green Bay tonight. White Sox signed reliever Matt Albers to a minor league contract, missed most of last year because of a shoulder injury. It's been with the Astros, Red Sox, and Indians. Jackie Robinson West director Bill Haley is asking Chicago to, quote, be with us while they decide on a lawsuit against Little League International. Speaking of lawsuits, two rooftop owners calling it a life or death situation for their business, filing a restraining order to keep the Cubs from building that jumbotron in right field. They were in court yesterday in hopes of a judge to hear the case coming up on Wednesday. And Tim Jennings of the Bears with minor knee surgery this week should miss any OTAs and should be fine for training camp. The scoreboard update is brought to you by Cassidy Tire and Service. Visit CassidyTire.com today. And join the scores. Matt Spiegel and Barry Rosen are broadcasting live from 9 to 1 p.m. on Monday from the Toyota Sports Corner at the 2015 Chicago Auto Show. Stop by and check out the full lineup of exciting new Toyotas and check out the stylish and smart Toyota RAV4. Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. I'm Matt Rodewald, and you're listening to Chicago's number one sports radio station, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
And this hour is brought to you by Ryan Kelly. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
Fours and Bernstein. Flashback.
Would you allow your daughter out on a Thursday night, school night, for a concert?
Maybe.
So, like, let's say, like, Giada's boobies were out on a Thursday night, like, late night. You would go let her go to that.
When Giada spoke at the Standard Club, it was a nighttime.
Did you just stare at her boobs the whole time?
I didn't go. Beth is gone. But she's gone to meet Giada three different times now.
Okay.
Now, if the Barefoot Contessa's out.
You mean Bigfoot Contessa.
That's a different
That's
show.
That's what I call her. I call her Bigfoot Contessa.
That would be a great show, where it's this lovely, tasteful Long Island house.
Right.
But it's Sasquatch.
Hello, and welcome to Bigfoot Contessa. I'm your host, Bigfoot. Today, we're going to make stew from a deer carcass I found. I'm going to show you how to make roadkill. I've got my friend TC coming over with flower arrangements. We're going to stop by. I'm going to pick up some baby eggplant that's in season. And some artichokes.
Yeah, that's Sasquatch. Love it.
We're going to make possum again.
I really love your roadkill. It's so delightful.
Guy walks in and throws beef jerky at him.
My husband, Jeffrey, is reminding me of when we were in Italy together on our honeymoon. Roadkill. Back after this on Bigfoot Contessa.
Josh McDowell.
Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
I don't remember. That was really damn funny, wasn't it?
Oh my God, that's great!
I didn't remember that.
Husband Jeffrey and I.
The great thing about doing all these shows is you don't remember entire comedy bits.
Oh my God, I remember the Giada or boobies part, but I don't remember the Sasquatch. But yeah, I do call her Bigfoot Contessa.
Yeah, that's great.
That's good stuff.
Woo! All right, well, let's talk a little bit of football with a guy who knows all the stuff we were talking about regarding scouting. The Combine is coming up, and Greg Gabriel, the former director of college scouting for the Chicago Chicago Bears, who has scouted for several other teams as well. 30 years of actual professional experience. He is with us here at Mickey Finn's on the Score. Craig, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Thank you for being here. I want to clarify something real quick because I got some tweets about it at Matt Abaticola before the break. Talking about Shea McClellan.
Yes.
And I didn't say that. I don't think he won't suck at football. I just thought it might be an opportunity for him to play a position that he might be able to play at the NFL.
So, okay, before we get to the positional stuff, let's discuss this idea of football bodies and just sort of the first blush job of a scout is to kind of say, does this guy at least look the part of what I want him to do, right?
Right. I mean, you always look at the frame, whether it's at practice or you're at the combine at an all-star game or whatever. At the all-star games and at the combine, you know, it's like a beauty contest. They come and walk across the stage and they weigh and measure and get their arm length, their ham length. And you're always looking at proportions and seeing if he's got a frame that can add weight, if he's too heavy, if he's too thin. There's a lot of guys that are just too thin. And you look at him and say, my God, you can't even get 5 more pounds on this guy. So that it is important when you look at it. And then you've got, of course, the fat guys, and you want to see if you can get them to lose some weight.
Now, is there, and I'm not sure if you can answer this, but is there a certain percentage of a guy's body frame, his style, when you first look at him, that it actually equates out to their success within the NFL?
No, I don't think so. I mean, when you guys were talking a little while ago about some bad bodies, the first thing that jumped into my mind was Tom Brady. And when he was at the East-West game, that's probably one of the worst bodies I've ever seen. And, you know, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time.
The reaction when he walked in the room was just gasps and giggles?
No, it was laughs.
Was it? I don't remember seeing pictures. Was it just he just looked completely...
He
like no ability to be athletic at all?
He looked as if he had never been in a weight room his entire time at the University of Michigan.
Which is possible.
True.
And it's actually, I'm sure it's better now because you don't last as long as he has with that degree of success without some dedication to that, right?
Well, true. I mean, he came into the league and he learned how to take care of himself and get into good shape. He's a lot bigger. He's stronger. I mean, you just look at him and he's a lot more muscular and well-defined than he was when he was in college. And a lot of college quarterbacks are the same way. They don't really spend much time in the weight room. They do the basics, if that.
When you're at the combine, I'm trying to get some sense of how the Bears are going to do this now with a new GM and entirely new procedures for some of the same scouts and some of whom you know and have worked with. Is Pace a guy who wants to be by himself? Is he a guy who wants to be surrounded by people bouncing things off of them in real time? Is he going to say at the end of each day, submit reports, or at the end of every drill, I want to hear what you think? I mean, you've worked with so many different ways of doing this. What do you think is going to happen now?
Well, you know, the combine has changed just in the last few years as far as how you're watching players. And the reason I say that is because everybody has a box now, where it used to be you sat in the stands. And now everybody's up, at least with the decision makers, you're up in a box. You don't have anybody bothering you. You can sit there. You can, you know, have something to drink or have something to eat while you're watching. And the TV's going on, so if there's any type of replay or you could watch a guy do something over. So it makes it a little bit more conducive to watching things without interruptions or with people bothering you. But generally speaking, you're going to have, you know, the head coach is going to be there, the general manager, the scouting directors are going to be up there, and they'll discuss. You're not going to watch every player. You never watch every player. You watch the players that you have an interest in.
So is there ever a time when there's a buzz about somebody because it's a guy you just hadn't thought of and you realize there's something, well, wait a second, he's not on our board, not on our radar screen, we never sent anybody to watch him, but this is probably worth at least a little bit of attention now.
Oh, yeah, but at the same time, when guys go to the combine, they are preparing, they go to these, their agents send them to these performance schools for 4 to 6 weeks before they go to the combine, and they are going through the drills, the 20-yard shuttle, the 3-cone, how to start in 40-yard dash, the vertical jump, the long jump, all these drills, plus the drills that they haven't changed the drills that the coaches do with the players in 20 years. They're the same thing, the same order
every year.
Does
that mean they got it right for your purposes, or does it mean it's just stubborn and it's just what they do?
Personally, I would think you'd want to change things around a little bit, but they want to do it just so you can go back and compare one guy to the next. But it becomes a learned habit or a learned drill for each player because they've done it so much,
right,
in 4 to 6 weeks leading up to the combine itself. So you expect the player to do well. It's when a guy doesn't do well that it's the red flag.
Because a fan will never get to experience an NFL combine from like your perspective as a scout or director of pro personnel, and so many fans, diehard football fans, love watching the combine on TV, and I have buddies that just, they sit there for hours and watch this stuff. I don't know how they do it, but take us through a typical day. Like when you were there, what was the process like being part of the Bears?
It's a long day. I mean, for anybody to say, I'd love to go down to the combine and experience it, they'd go once and then they'd say, no, I don't think so. I mean, literally, it's a day that starts at 7:30 in the morning when you get over to the stadium, because that's when they start the weigh-in measuring of the players, sometimes 7 o'clock. And then it goes to 11 o'clock at night, because when you get done with everything over at the stadium as far as the weigh-in measuring, the weightlifting, the workouts, and that type of thing, you might have a couple hours break, but then starting at 6 o'clock, you have the interview process that begins, and that goes, those are 15-minute segments. There's a horn blow at the beginning and at the end, and you're doing interviews all the way up to 11 o'clock at night. So, I mean, that's tiring, and you're asking really the same type of questions over and over, over again with a different player walking in the door every 15 minutes.
How does that process work with the interviews as far as teams getting to talk to the guys they want to talk to, and how do teams get priority over another team to talk to a certain guy?
You have to submit the names that you have, up to 60 names that you can interview.
60, okay.
Okay. It used to be, years ago, it was a free-for-all. And when I say there were fights, there were literally fist fights of scouts or coaches fighting over a certain player. And it's been maybe 15 years, 12 years since that has happened. And, you know, they've organized it a lot better. You submit the names that you want to talk to. The combine are the people who organize it and set up the times. They give the dance card, as we used to call it, to the player, so he knows what room he's supposed to be in at what time. And all the rooms are at the Crown Plaza in Indianapolis where the players are, and the whole first floor is like a courtyard situation, and all you can easily go from one room to the next, and they know where they're supposed to go. And usually a team has a runner, so they know where the play, what room he's in. If he's in 145 for an interview at 7 o'clock, and he's supposed to be in your room at 7:15, then you have a guy waiting outside the door at room 145 to bring him over to your room. But it's a very strict 15 minutes. Like I say, they blow a horn, and then it's musical chairs. Everybody has to walk out of the room and go to the next one. Yeah.
See, I would hope, too, if there were a guy where I had a question mark on the scouting report regarding maybe his nighttime habits or his discipline, can you request we want to be the very first interview in the morning? Because then you know if that guy is early, if that guy's there on time, that you're something that maybe you can put your mind at ease a little bit to make sure that the kid's on top of his game?
Well, they don't have any interviews in the morning. The interviews always start at 6 o'clock at night. They are busy. Their day starts early. Players have a long day, too. They have to get up and go through the pee test first, and that's usually at about 5 o'clock in the morning. They usually wake them up and get them out of the room right away, and then that's supervised so nobody can cheat. On that type of thing, and then they go from there to whatever they have next. They have breakfast. They have different psychological examinations. They have a very full schedule, and it's very, very structured.
And imagine tiring for them, too. So you can see some mental toughness or not from the guys who are flagging late in the day or getting testy with some of the questions.
You know, they're on their feet for a long time, sometimes 10, 12 hours in one day going through the physical examination. When they do the medical part, what the first thing they do is after they go through the pee test is they go over to the stadium and they do the weigh and measure. When they get done with the weigh and measure, then they go through the medical examinations, and there's six different orthopedic rooms that they have to go to. There's five or six teams in each room.
And teams have their own MRI machines. We've heard that you got a whole line of MRI trucks.
No,
out
that,
there.
That there's a whole line of MRI trucks, but those are run by the league.
Okay.
So, but if Team A wants a player to get an MRI on a certain body part, every team in the league gets the results of that MRI.
I see.
It doesn't just get
around.
Right, but
no proprietary diagnostics.
Because the doctors aren't spending their money or the patient's money, so to speak, to have the MRI done. There's like 600 to 650 MRIs done every year at the combine. Some guys have two or three done on themselves.
Wow.
Now, radiation.
Let's put you back on the job and let's look at the Chicago Bears. And without evaluating a current players on the roster and what to do with them moving forward, let's look at areas of need that you think they can fill through the draft. What would be the first place you would start if you are in charge and you're telling Ryan Pace this is where you need to look?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And until we find out exactly what they're going to do on defense, you might not have the answer to it right now. You know, schematically, if they're going to switch to a base 3-4 defense, they really don't have the personnel to play that defense. Now, in saying that, you go back and you look at what Vic Fangio ran at San Francisco, and he was running a 3-4, but he was running it with smaller, more athletic guys than a lot of teams do. A lot of teams have those big 330, 340-pound defensive linemen playing. He never had that in San Francisco. He had guys that are actually more similar to what the Bears had as far as inside guys. So really it's determining what they're going to run on their base defense. He's familiar with both defenses. And then once they determine that, figure out, okay, what players are we going to keep? Who are we going to get rid of as far as free agents and guys under contract that they just decide can't play in the scheme and they're going to move on and let them go? And then you got to look at who's out there free agent-wise. Look at what's the strength of the free agent market, what's the weakness of the free agent market, and the same thing with the draft. And a lot of times you got to have them work hand in hand. In other words, if you think you can get a wide receiver, a tight end, and a defensive lineman high in the draft, and you've got other needs, and you can get those other needs in free agency, then you're going to do that. But you got to have them, work closely hand in hand so that you can get players at every need position.
We're talking with Greg Gabriel here live at Mickey Finn's on the Boers and Bernstein Show. Greg was the Bears director of college scouting for years, has scouted for other NFL teams. I love the idea of trying to find a market inequity. If I'm running a team, I want my scouts ideally to be able to see or sense things that others can't, to find what's hidden. And more, everything is quantified, that you know the vertical leap, you know the 40 time, you know the three-cone drill time. You don't have to be a professional scout to say great, good, mediocre, not so good. In what drills? I mean, every scout's got something to say, look, I'm good at this. I'm good at seeing this. When you're actually watching a drill, not just looking at the result, where did you think you were really good at seeing something that maybe others couldn't?
Well, that's a good question. And part of the job of a general manager and a director is to find out what each individual scout does good and what he doesn't do good. He's not going to be strong at scouting every position. Mm-hmm. And then when you put that scout, say, as a cross-check scout, have him cross-check the position he's strongest with. And it takes some time. They're not going to do it in a month or 6 weeks since, John Fox has been here and Ryan Pace has been here. It's going to take them a year, maybe more, to figure out who's strong at each position. And then get them watching those guys. I always had Chris Ballard watching the defensive backs because he coached defense. He coached defensive backs. He knows the position very, very well. Mark Sadowski watched the defensive line. Why? He was a defensive lineman. He knew the position inside and out, so he was the best guy to do it.
So what's an example of something that they would see that doesn't show up on the result of a drill, something that you need to just know it?
You're looking at a lot of little things. It's the sum of the parts equals the whole. So in other words, say when I'm watching an offensive lineman, the very first thing I look at is the stance. And how comfortable is he in the stance? And I look at his feet. Does he have his feet flat on the ground or is he up on his toes? If he's up on his toes, that's showing me that he might have some stiffness in his ankles. So it's the little things like that. Then you watch the first step. And then, how is that first step going? And you can see, does he rise straight up or does he come out gradually, and show some explosion through his hips? So you got to take the little things and then turn them into one big whole report, one big picture.
Now, can you turn someone into a scout?
I have scouting classes, and there's a lot of people that take them, and I used to get probably 150 resumes a year for guys who wanted to be scouts. It's not easy. Number one, you're away from home a lot. When I worked for the Giants, there was 5 years in a row when I was gone for 200 days a year. I mean, that's tough on, a family life. I didn't see my two kids being born because I was out on the road. I couldn't get back on time. So a person has to be really motivated, and there's nobody looking over your shoulder pushing you. You got to get up early, you're to bed late, and you have to be a self-motivator type of person to be successful. But at the same time, you also have to be very instinctive. It's an instinctive type of business, and you got to be able to see the little things. It's not looking at the stat sheet and say, well, that guy threw for 4,000 yards. He must be a good quarterback. Well, he could be a terrible quarterback, but he played in an offense that allowed him to have that type of production.
He went to the University of Houston, is what you're saying.
Right. You know, so it's watching. I keep going back to the watching the little things, but that's what it is. It's being able to break him down into individual little traits and then see if he's got the sum of the parts and become a good player.
Last question I have for you. The all this unquantifiable stuff, eventually, for a lot of departments, is then retranslated into numbers and codes and colors. And I always wonder what gets lost in translation, where you could have a long, involved report about everything you're saying and paragraph after paragraph of what you saw. Yet at some point, there are guys who say, okay, but I can't put that on my board. It's got to have a number, a slotting, and baseball does it all the time. Is it a 20 or is it an 80? And where is it on that sliding scale? And I always think that something has to get lost in there. That even though you got to do it, you got to call it a red or a blue, or everybody's got something in there. I hope that scouts are very careful to make sure that even though this is the ultimate grade, that you're still mindful of all of the other things, of all the words and all the actual thoughts, even though you've got it boiled down to something tangible.
It's a very subjective business, and you could put four scouts in a room, turn on the same tape, and you're liable to get four different opinions because they're going to look at things differently. But at the same time, it gets down to one thing. He can play or he can't play. And, you know, I learned that a long time ago. I was a rookie scout, and I was out on the road, and there was a guy who worked for the Atlanta Falcons at the time, and he was a player that I grew up watching and was really fond of. And he hated writing reports. And he told me, he goes, Greg, it's real simple. He can play or he can't play. Just figure it out.
Great. Okay, then.
Last thing for you, Greg. When it comes to the combine, what aspect of it did you find most beneficial in understanding who a player was?
What do you mean by that?
As far as there was a certain drill, or was it sitting down talking to them? And what aspects of seeing this person perform these athletic feats and then having conversations, what aspects stood out to you the most?
Outside of game tape, right?
Right, outside of game tape. Yeah.
Really, I think it's the interview, because you're really getting more of a feel for them. And it's not just the interview at the combine is 15 minutes long. It's really when you spend private time with them, either bring them in for a visit or you go to the school and spend some time with them. And then you get to sit down. I always, if we were going to have a private workout, I'd go in the day before and take them out to dinner. I wanted to spend a good hour and a half, 2 hours with him, really get to know him, have him talk about his family. And I wouldn't say anything. I'd let him do all the talking. And that's when you really kind of find out how he clicks, how his mind works. I know I can watch tape and see what type of player he is or what kind of athlete he is. I want to know how his mind works and if he has the football character and the drive and desire to be a great player.
That's great stuff, and it makes me more excited as a Bears observer just have this all. It just matters again and differently in new ways and makes it a whole lot more fun with this week that's coming up. So, Greg, thank you. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Greg Gabriel, he writes for 670thescore.com. All this stuff that you are hearing, you can read his reports. You can follow him on Twitter, at Greg Gabe, and get it all in the pipeline there.
And I wonder how many of those dinners were just awful. Like a few minutes in, he was just like, oh, my God, what am I doing?
you realize you can't draft this guy?
Yeah. You know, like, I wonder if he, like, set up, like you know how, like, women do on first date sometimes? Like, I wonder if Greg had, like, a colleague call him 5 minutes into the dinner, and, you know, if he knew it wasn't going to go well and be like...
Like a secret code.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, no, seriously? Oh, man, that's awful. I got to go. I'm really sorry. I'll drop you back off at school, though. You know, if he had that, like, the emergency parachute.
That's Matt Abaticola. I'm Dan Bernstein, bottom of the hour, second half. And then at 4 o'clock, in honor of Valentine's Day, Wild at Heart. You can send your e-submissions into Boers and Bernstein at 670thescore.com. We also have two more poker spots to give away, four more on Monday as well, so you might have your chance then. You're listening to The Score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute. Ray Rice reportedly has reached a settlement with the Baltimore Ravens, thus avoiding a grievance hearing which had been scheduled. He had been looking for $3.5 million from the team, but given the settlement, he obviously will not be getting that. On top of that, he apologized to the city of Baltimore and the Ravens fans in a letter to the Baltimore Sun. Great, Ray. You're right when you say you let everybody down and that you made a terrible decision, which turned your life into a nightmare. Exactly. You do owe the folks an apology. But where was it a year ago, or 11 months ago, or even 10 months ago? And why are you doing it right now? It all sounds pretty hollow, given that you're trying to get back into the NFL and hook on with somebody else. It reads like something you had to do, as opposed to wanting to do. Otherwise, that letter would have come much, much sooner. Too little, too late. Raymel, whatever you were trying to accomplish with that letter, you failed. I'm Jim Rome.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom155.com. That's freedom, the number 155.com. Go to freedom155.com and start earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom155.com right now and change your life today.
Avoid bankruptcy. Does credit card debt have you living paycheck to paycheck? Are you making minimum payments but only falling further behind? Call the Mediator Law Group to find out about our debt reduction program. Guaranteed to settle your credit card debt or you don't pay. That's right. It's called pay for performance, and you won't pay a dime until the job's done. I'm a paid spokesperson, not a lawyer, and every case is different. But if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call 800-821-2412. 800-821-2412.
Perhaps when you think cruise, you'd imagine staged entertainment, excessive dining, dressy attire, and stops in only a few major ports. Hurtigruten is none of that. On board our smaller ships, you're in good company with like-minded, active, inquisitive travelers. Norway's celebrated Hurtigruten route includes over 1,000 miles of stunning coastline. Find your voyage today by calling 855-370-2651. On a Hurtigruten voyage, you don't just visit Norway, you become part of it. Call 855-370-2651 today. Last year, we saved for a winter family vacation, and boom, the heater broke. Our entire vacation fund went for a new furnace.
Don't make your family pay the price for unexpected home repairs. With a Total Protect home warranty, you can save money and avoid stress by having a plan for when your vital home systems break down. Call 1-800-542-8103 and let us know how much you want covered and how much you want to pay. Plan for a great 2015 with Total Protect at 1-800-542-8103.
CBS Tuesday.
You ready?
I'm good for a fight.
The network that brought you TV's number one drama, NCIS, takes you to the Big Easy.
My city, my way.
Now, New Orleans has its own NCIS.
This town really gets into your DNA.
Scott Bakula stars.
Are we gonna have some fun?
NCIS New Orleans, Tuesday, only CBS.
CBS presents the stars of the new comedy, The Odd Couple, Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon.
I would like to clear something up. We're not a couple.
Do I cook our meals?
Well, yes, but...
Do I clean our apartment?
To clarify, I normally don't clean anything.
When you need comfort, do I not dry your tears?
It was one time, and I was having a really bad day.
By most metrics, we are a couple.
We're not a couple.
Except that we are.
Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon are The Odd Couple.
What do you want to do for dinner?
Let's stay in.
A new comedy, Thursdays, only CBS.
An important message for all Americans who owe $7,500 or more in back taxes to the IRS. The tax pros at OIC Tax can help you. Call 800-416-4460 to find out if you qualify for the IRS's financial hardship program. OIC Tax can stop the IRS from garnishing your wages and help you get back on track with your tax problems. Call 800-416-4460 for a free consultation. That's 800-416-4460. 800-416-4460. Call now.
CBS Tuesday.
My favorite TV shows are on Tuesdays.
America's favorite agents.
Tony DiNozzo, friend of the ladies.
Are on the case.
Allow me to work my way from the horrific to the curious.
See why NCIS is TV's number one show.
I'm impressed.
Well, let's go.
Just because I make it look easy doesn't mean it is.
This is exciting stuff.
That's not nothing.
No, that's something.
NCIS, Tuesday, only CBS.
CBS Friday.
I am a New York City cop who was asked to be the commissioner.
Blue Bloods is inspiring.
We'll do everything we can to find out who did this.
Daring.
Make a choice, right or wrong.
Riveting.
He killed a cop!
In my job, you need to prove it.
Moving.
Being the top cop comes with a lot of sacrifices.
See why millions of viewers spend Friday night with the Riggins.
I'm thankful for four generations of this family, safe and sound.
Blue Bloods, Friday, only CBS.
Wow, or this Valentine's Day with a spa day. Call the spa at Eaglewood Resort in Itasca to order your gift card today. 630-773-1400 or eaglewoodresort.com. Special $25 certificate with a purchase of $150 or more.
Premiering CBS Wednesday, March 4th. In the world of cybercrime, it takes the best.
I'm Special Agent Avery Ryan.
To catch the worst.
I work crimes that start in the mind, live online, and play out in the real world.
From the creators of the most successful crime franchise comes the next generation of CSI.
FBI!
Academy Award nominee Patricia Arquette, James Vanderbeek.
This is just the beginning.
CSI Cyber, premieres CBS Wednesday, March 4th.
So I'm here to tell you about an amazing new acne treatment that even Proactive says is better than Proactive. It's called Proactive Plus. You know, millions of people have turned to Proactive, but Proactive Plus, it works faster and better than before. So if your goal is a flawless complexion, call 1-800-244-1946. All of today's callers will also get two free gifts with their 60-day risk-free trial. So the number is 1-800-244-1946. 1-800-244-1946.
This is Big Doug Buffon, and I hate going to the dentist. I mean, I'd prefer to get knocked out by Obradovich. But when I have to, the only place I'll go to is Webster Dental Care. My family and I have been going to Webster Dental Care for over 30 years. The professional care, respect, and gentle touch make going to the dentist darn easy. Never thought I'd say that. With 7 Chicagoland locations, it's easy to get to no matter where you are. So whether you're in major need or just haven't been for a while, go see my friends at Webster Dental Care on the web at webdentalchicago.com. Tell them Big Doug sent you and get $100 off on your first visit.
Chevy.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
And our second half's about to begin.
Scoreboard update.
Coming up to 3:30 and from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio and live from Mickey Finn's in Libertyville, I'm Matt Rodewald with this scoreboard update. The Wolves are at home tonight at 7 and Sunday at 4 at Allstate Arena. Visit ChicagoWolves.com today. Of course, the Bulls feeling okay after heading into the All-Star break with a win over the Cavs last night. Pau Gasol with 18 and 10. That's his 14th straight double-double and 12 points for him coming in the first quarter as well. Bulls will have the whole week off before they get back to work on Friday in Auburn Hills against the Detroit Pistons. Jimmy Butler trying to play in his first All-Star game, or at least as trying to get up to play on Sunday, dealing with that shoulder injury. He's out with the skills competition for tomorrow night, and so he's going to try and play on Sunday, the 64th annual NBA All-Star Game. Rising Stars game is tonight in Brooklyn. Nico Mirotic playing for the World Squad. And Carmelo Anthony says he is likely, very likely, to shut it down for the season after the All-Star break. The Blackhawks not off to a good start on the homestand, hoping to end a two-game skid when they host the Devils tonight. Corey Crawford's in net against Corey Schneider. Michael Roosevelt is out with a shoulder injury. Ben Smith is a scratch for tonight. Hawks sit 6 points back of the Blues for second place in the Central Division. The Illini, a big-time run to pull away from Michigan last night in overtime, but a tough one awaits with a trip to Madison coming up on Sunday afternoon to face off against the fifth-ranked Badgers. Valpo tonight playing host to Green Bay. White Sox signed reliever Matt Albers to a minor league contract, missed most of last year in the majors because of a shoulder injury. Jackie Robinson West director Bill Haley is asking Chicago to, quote, be with us while they decide on a lawsuit against Little League International. Ray Rice issuing an apology through the Baltimore Sun today to Ravens fans for the, quote, horrible mistake that I made. Tim Jennings, a minor knee surgery for him, shouldn't miss any OTAs. And Roger Goodell made $35 million in 2013 thanks to tax returns released today, and this after making $44 million back in 2012. The scoreboard update is brought to you by Cassidy Tire and Service. Visit Cassidy.com today. 3:30 time for the closing bell report. Record day on Wall Street. Dow Jones up about 47 points to finish above 18,000 for the first time in 2015. NASDAQ up 36 points and change. That's a 15-year high at 48.93. And the S&P, a record high after getting 8.5 points to finish at 20.96. I'm Matt Rodewald, and you're listening to Chicago's number one sports radio station, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
And the second half is brought to you by Home Run In Pizza, Chicago's original thin crust pizza.
The second half.
And now it's time to begin the second half.
On the first half of the show, we talked some basketball with KC Johnson, talked some football with Greg Gabriel. We talked a little bit, too, about some of the specifics of this latest lawsuit that has been filed by rooftop owners against the Chicago Cubs and what the merits may or may not be, more on the side of may not than may. And some Bears and Ruth Bader Ginsburg being drunk at the State of the Union because she said she just had to.
All right, the Philadelphia Eagles had a team calendar released where, you know, a player is featured for each month, and there was a problem because Riley Cooper was the player for the month of February, and February is Black History Month. And we know what happened with Riley Cooper at a concert a couple years ago using racial slurs, was caught on video, and it wasn't a good look, wasn't a good thing. And so there he is. He's the player of February, which is Black History Month. And here's what the Eagles had to say, which is what I love. We do not oversee the production of the annual team calendar. We do not provide any input about the players who are featured or where those pictures appear in the calendar. The NFL licensed the production of the calendar to a third party, and we do not have an opportunity to review the material. Well, let me tell you this.
You know what? Next time, get it.
Get the opportunity. But how about this? Why would Riley Cooper be anywhere for any month for your team? Why? I mean, not only with what happened 2 years ago, but here's the thing. Pro Football Focus rated him the worst wide receiver in the game. So why is he anywhere?
Kudos to Major League Baseball. They're a little late to this, but at least they're doing it. And this is a Yahoo Sports article that MLB is considering altering the textbook definition of the strike zone for the first time in nearly 20 years because of what we have been telling you about through the work of Joe Sheehan and Hardball Times and others. There are too many low strikes being called. The low strike is causing players to swing at pitches that are really hard to hit. It is also causing the framing issues that we're seeing here with catchers getting so good at framing that low strike slightly upward, like Miguel Montero.
I was going to say, you know who's good at that?
Like, that's why he's a Cub,
right?
That's now measurable, and that has changed baseball in a way that people don't like. And Sheehan has tracked this about just how few base hits there are. How you get your home runs, and you certainly get these 3.5-hour games, there's just very little action because you're getting fewer balls in play. And some of the charts here are really amazing, looking at the difference between 2009, what pitches were called strikes, and in 2014, what pitches were called strikes.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is pretty
and
significant.
This, it's due to the field effects or pitch effects cameras that are seeing all this. Now, here's the problem. What else is baseball trying to do? Speed up games. These are working at cross purposes,
right? Yeah.
Here. So this is really the trick. If somebody can find the magic bullet of some way being able to have balls called as they should be and have the strike zone be reasonable to produce offense while still making sure the games don't drag on, you may have more balls in play in general, which could mean shorter at bats. But either way, my other feeling is it might be a longer game is more palatable because there's more action going on. Maybe if you have fewer strikeouts and you have defenses doing things and you feel like you're actually watching something, it's just not going to feel like as much of a chore if the game is as long as it is.
Working to create a conversation about domestic violence has become very fashionable for the NFL. And I say fashionable not to downplay the importance of it, but fashionable because I don't believe the sincerity of the NFL.
This group they partnered with is a complete
I think
sham.
It's a complete joke. But here was an opportunity by one particular player to really make a difference in Ray Rice. To all the kids who looked up to me, I'm truly sorry for letting you down. But I hope it's helped you learn that one bad decision can turn your dream into a nightmare. There is no excuse for domestic violence, and I apologize for the horrible mistake I made. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me, and I hope to make a positive difference in people's lives by raising awareness of this issue. A real opportunity for a real guy who's not in football right now, wants back into football, an opportunity here to really make a difference, to be at the forefront, instead of just being fashionable like I believe the NFL is doing, but he could make a difference. And to categorize it as the one bad mistake I made,
oops.
Not good enough.
Oops.
Not good enough, Ray Rice.
Locked my keys in the car.
Right. That's a mistake.
Oops.
You know, it's like the people that leave their kid in the car when it's 90 degrees or 10 below. I made a mistake. No, you didn't. You tried to kill your kid. Ray Rice, you tried to knock your wife out and kill her in an elevator. Come on.
This is Ian Levy at 538.com. In the NBA, the apex of individual shooting is a 50-40-90 season. That's 50% from the field, 40% on threes, and 90% on free throws. 50-40-90. Since the three-point line was adopted for the 1979-1980 campaign, how many players do you think have hit 50-40-90?
Since what year?
Since 1979-1980. How many players have done it?
Have hit 50-40-90? Less than 10.
Six.
Oh, I was going to say six. Damn it.
But these are six players.
Six.
But it's been done 10 times.
Okay.
Six players have done a total of 10 times. Kyle Korver is doing his best to become the 11th.
Wow.
Korver is on pace to achieve it. 51.2 from the field, 52.3 on three, 91.1 from the line. He could have the first ever 50-50-90 season.
Do you have the players that have done it?
So keep an eye on that.
Are the players listed that have done it?
Kyle Korver, Kevin Durant, Steve Nash, Reggie Miller, Mark Price, Larry Bird, Dirk Nowitzki.
All right, I had two in my head. I had Miller and Larry. I had two.
But he could have. When they're,
the first ever 50-50-90.
Their premise here with a lot of gory math involved. He could have the greatest shooting season in the history of the NBA.
All right, last thing for us here real quick. And this is the back page of the Tribune. And this is from Chris Erskine. And he wrote a little piece here about Kevin Costner and his sports movies. And he ranks Kevin Costner's best sports movies. I'm sorry, this is Michael Phillips. He ranks Kevin Costner's sports movies 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. One, he has his Bull Durham.
Correct.
Two, Field of Dreams.
Correct.
For me, I would flip those around. I would have Field of Dreams 1, Bull Durham. 3, Tin Cup. 4, this new one, McFarland USA, which is about a track team, and it's supposed to be the first great movie of 2015. Number 5 is For Love of the Game, which I think is a terrible movie, but I love it.
We interviewed him when that movie came
really?
Out, remember?
I mean, I've watched it.
And he got mad at us for saying Waterworld sucked.
I've watched it 200 times. I think it's a terrible movie, but I absolutely love it. And then the sixth movie, and it's probably appropriate in the ranking, but I wouldn't even categorize it as a good movie because it's probably...
Oh, not the football one.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my
life.
Draft Day? Draft Day was easily one of the worst movies I've watched in my entire life. It had absolutely 0 point. There was zero plot to it. It was completely ridiculous. And at the very end, he like pulls off this great huge trade on draft day to get this player he wanted and coveted. And it was the most ridiculous story. If those GMs were actual GMs in the NFL, they would not only be fired, they would be dragged out behind the stadium and shot to death.
And lastly, real quick, there's a report that Wes Welker is considering retiring. Consider real hard and yes, Wes, retire.
See, now the problem is the next day he can't remember if he's thinking about retiring.
Right. Exactly. All I would say is, Wes, read what Tony Dorsett said last week.
Right, when his agent comes to him and says, "Hey, are you really serious about this retirement thing?"
What
retirement
and
thing?
Who the hell are you?
who said that? Retire? Well, we were talking about it yesterday. Who's we?
And what happened to my pet penguin?
Where are my pants?
Wes,
because brain disease is funny.
As long as it's not you.
Right, exactly. That's the second half. We do it every day around this time. Then we ask you what you think. 312-644-6767. Top of the hour, Friday.
19 fun. Minutes away.
Wild at heart coming your way on The Score.
Amerovich.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, you're listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's original sports talk station. Visit your local Hyundai dealer for a test drive to...
One score and one year ago, Old Navy brought forth a new clothing store dedicated to the proposition that all sales are not created equal. Like the President's Day sale, where now through Monday only, the entire store is up to 50% off. proving that great-looking clothing of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not cost an arm and leg.
Run to Old Navy now through Monday for up to 50% off the entire store. That's up to 50% off jackets, jeans, tees, you name it. Valid February 13th through 16th. Excludes gift cards, clearance, and Fruit of the Loom.
CBS Thursday.
Prepare to weep at the glory of my genius.
When you're America's favorite geeks.
Yes!
That's big.
Paradigm shifting news, gentlemen.
When you're the number one comedy on television.
You used to it yet?
No.
Me neither.
That's big.
Does it get any better than this?
When you're having your biggest season ever.
My brain is better than everybody.
That's Big Bang.
Yeah!
The Big Bang Theory, Thursday, only CBS.
CBS Friday, America's bosses are going back undercover.
Yeah, man, this is hard work.
To meet their workers.
When I help people, it helps me.
And change their lives.
He gonna give me the hole.
New bosses.
I believe in you.
New inspirational stories.
You changed my life so much.
You changed mine.
The Emmy Award-winning Undercover Boss.
These tears of joy right here.
Friday, only CBS.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom155.com. That's freedom, the number 155.com. Go to freedom155.com and start earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom155.com right now and change your life today.
Avoid bankruptcy. Does credit card debt have you living paycheck to paycheck? Are you making minimum payments but only falling further behind? Call the Mediator Law Group to find out about our debt reduction program. Guaranteed to settle your credit card debt or you don't pay. That's right. It's called Pay for Performance, and you won't pay a dime until the job's done. I'm a paid spokesperson, not a lawyer, and every case is different. But if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call 800-821-2412. 800-821-2412.
Perhaps when you think cruise, you'd imagine staged entertainment, excessive dining, dressy attire, and stops in only a few major ports. Hurtigruten is none of that. On board our smaller ships, you're in good company with like-minded, active, inquisitive travelers. Norway's celebrated Hurtigruten route includes over 1,000 miles of stunning coastline. Find your voyage today by calling 855-370-2651. On a Hurtigruten voyage, you don't just visit Norway, you become part of it. Call 855-370-2651 today.
CBS Wednesday.
In simple terms, we use behavioral science to hunt down monsters.
Find out why Criminal Minds is TV's number one suspense thriller.
He has two forms of expression, silence and rage.
The only thing more dangerous than a serial killer.
This guy is smart. We have to be smarter.
Are the people who catch them.
Now it's our turn to chase him.
The answer's in there somewhere. You just got to find it.
Searching for bad boys. It's my specialty.
Criminal Minds. Wednesday, only CBS.
CBS presents the stars of the new comedy, The Odd Couple. Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon.
I would like to clear something up. We're not a couple.
Do I cook our meals?
Well, yes, but...
Do I clean our apartment?
To clarify, I normally don't clean anything.
When you need comfort, do I not dry your tears?
It was one time, and I was having a really bad day.
By most metrics, we are a couple.
We're not a couple.
Except that we are.
Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon are The Odd Couple.
What do you want to do for dinner?
Let's stay in.
A new comedy, Thursdays, only CBS.
An important message for all Americans who owe $7,500 or more in back taxes to the IRS. The tax pros at OIC Tax can help you. Call 800-416-4460 to find out if you qualify for the IRS's financial hardship program. OIC Tax can stop the IRS from garnishing your wages and help you get back on track with your tax problems. Call 800-416-4460 for a free consultation. That's 800-416-4460. 800-416-4460. Call now.
At Domino's.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Rose with the hesitation dribble goes all the way and scores! What a move! With 1/10 of a second left in this third quarter. And the Cavaliers not happy with themselves. Derrick Rose able to go the distance.
Yeah, I'm very happy where I'm at. I'm loving the way that I'm playing, but like I said, I could always do better. I could always improve on my game, different areas of my game, and I'm just happy that we won and happy for Tony, so it's cool.
everybody's happy. Winning is better than losing.
Oh, he's happy for Tony, though. I mean, he talked about Tony in the post game too, right on the court. I don't know if he's...
Not Tony Bors.
If he's got a doctor.
No,
the German chancellor.
Hey, Tony.
I don't know if he's got money invested in Tony's career or what his deal is, but he loves Tony Snell.
Yeah, they're buds. He likes to see a guy working hard.
He was there, with Rachel Nichols there on the court right after the game was over. And yeah, he's like, no, I'm really happy. It was Tony's night. You know, all about Tony.
I can't believe my wife just...
What's up, Fatty?
My wife just tweeted our...
What's up, Porky?
Hey, I made weight today. She just tweeted this.
I would too.
She texted me. She had gotten...
It's a real D-bag move on your part.
You know, she's always getting, because she's an event planner, we're always getting like flowers and sweets and stuff in the mail from people who want her business or thanking her for things.
If you intercept those first, do you give them to her as a gift? Like, let's say flowers came for her from a client.
No.
If you were to intercept and be like,
that's
hey,
a
honey,
great call,
I was thinking about you today. Here's some flowers.
She would know instantly. You would never have picked those out. But... So she got this box of these turtle-like things from Margie's Candies. They're, you know, it's caramel pecans covered in chocolate, right?
And according to Mayor Misk over here, Margie's Candies is the place to go.
Well, so last night, there's like half a box left. So there are like seven of them or something. And I made myself some veal parmesan sandwich, and I said, oh, yeah, there's those turtles there. So I ate one, and then I ate another one, and it's really... really good. So when you're already kind of in, you're already dirty,
you
right?
You committed.
Right. Yes. So it's sort of like the Girl Scout cookies once you're in there, or like ice cream where you're just trying to trim the edges. You're trying to keep it even.
Yeah.
So the last couple got really just kind of lonely. And
they just fell in your mouth.
Yeah. Those They were all sitting in a box. They were lonely and they needed to be taken care of. So
you've polished off seven turtles.
So yeah. And, so she texts me and she goes, really? You ate the rest of the turtles? And I said, yep, don't judge me. And she said, not judging, just pissed. But I said, look, look, I weigh myself every day. I made weight today. I've got no issues. I'm all good. So then she's texting, congratulations, fat boy.
There you go.
I made weight.
What do you mean you made weight today?
I don't want to leave the gym until I'm under, I have to be somewhere... in a certain range.
What, do you have a fight coming up?
Well, that's kind of how I look at it. I don't want to get out of... If I let it spiral out of hand, then it's all going to go.
Yeah, we've seen old pictures of you. You could really balloon up pretty easily.
I was pre-nature.
You were a fat kid.
I was.
You
didn't know it at the time, though.
I didn't know you were fat at the time.
You should see my wedding pictures. Neither did she.
Why did she marry you for?
That's what I said. I said, look how I look like the lost Kennedy or something.
Unfortunately, they found you.
Right, I said, look at that. And she said, yeah, well, I didn't really realize it until, you know, after I blew out my knee. The doctor said, well, you know, it couldn't hurt you to try to take off a few and take the pressure off the knee.
You know, we bought a box of Rice Krispie treats.
I can't believe she did that.
Like little mini Rice Krispie treats for Hank as a little treat, you know, once in a while. And we tried giving him one, and he tried to take a bite of it, and he wanted nothing to do with it. Like zero interest in a Rice Krispie treat. And I was like, all right, you know, it's unwrapped. I'm like, I might as well finish it. So I ate it. And then I was like, hey, he doesn't like the Rice Krispie treats. And she's like, really? And I'm like, no. All right. A couple seconds later, I hear a rapper in the kitchen. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh,
was it
Sir Mix-a-Lot?
It was, actually. No, it was Suge Knight. And he shot me. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, well, if he's not going to eat them, you know, I might as well have one. I'm like, oh, yeah. So she comes back and sits down. A few minutes later, I'm in the kitchen getting something to drink. And then I'm like, oh, you know, this is Rice Krispie. There was like one left. We went through the entire box in one night, except for the one that, and there's still that one that's in there.
Oh, so now like, it's a thing?
We both refused to eat the last one. I'm not going to be the one to finish it off.
It's close enough. I could drive over and eat it if you want.
You could stay over if you need a place to stay.
Joe in Orland Park, you're on the score. What's up, Joe?
All right, guys. Two questions. Has Major League Baseball thought about lowering the mound maybe an inch or two? And the second question, is there anything else besides the low strike getting called that they could change to improve batting averages, maybe get more base runners, more action?
No, because really, if you read the research, and I know what you're saying, Joe, that the science behind pinning it on the low strike is really good. It's really solid. They're not just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
That it's pretty clear when they've looked, because the pitch effects data is so good that they can determine, essentially modeling statistically, what it would look like, what the contact rates would look like if you simply had a higher percentage of pitches moving up a tiny bit. And it looks like the way they want the game to be. So this, I know it kind of sounds like guesswork, like maybe it's this, maybe it's not, but there are so many smart people doing so much work on this that they are ready to actually, this year's going to be an advisory observation year where they're going to look it over, they're going to look over the data. And you know what's the other thing too? Is here's something counterintuitive, that one of the guesses was that with increased average velocity, umpires were simply getting pitches wrong, umpires were getting suckered by some of the framing. The fact is, because of the initial Quest Tech system with those cameras installed, and then because of pitch effects, the umpiring is actually better than they thought. So umpires are calling really a more standardized strike zone. So the conclusion is, if they were to change it, that umpires, based on all the data that they have and how they're reviewed every game, that they're confident that the new strike zone would indeed be properly called.
And they would grade out better.
And they would grade out, as they're grading out fairly well, okay, actually. But they think that it's a very small adjustment of moving the strike zone upward, if you look at what they think the numbers would be, it would be a much more interesting brand of baseball.
We mentioned Miguel Montero and the fact that he's really good at framing pitches and how this might impact a guy like that. Did Sheehan mention any pitchers that this might impact, guys that are low strike pitchers, where this might have an impact on
everybody? Everybody's a low strike pitcher now. I mean, that's where
but there are some guys that's where they live though.
Pretty much anybody good is down in the zone because it's harder to hit. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're John Danks. And everything's belt high, and you get raked.
Well, don't say that to Hawk.
Oh God,
Hawk loves John.
He's
Dex.
Got Adam Eaton as
the best leadoff hitter in baseball.
Leadoff hitter in the game.
It might be ever,
dude. Hawk.
Well, he's excited, man. That guy, you know, he's right. Coming back for the whole year.
I'm excited
too.
Good news. I'm excited too because we are getting ready to load up the phones with your stories of how far you have gone in your efforts to woo. Not Ronnie woo-woo.
We not know, Ronnie woo-woo.
Not like that, but we call this Wild at Heart, and we hear your stories of perhaps how grandiose, or maybe you overshot, if you get my drift. Might have been successful, might have been unsuccessful, but this is our Valentine's Day traditional annual Friday fun.
And no dirty, perverted stories. We don't need that about how, you know, it may have worked out or finished in the end. And this is the segment where we ask you to entertain us and make the show good.
312-644-6767. Wild at Heart, next on The Score.
Fun is winning. Winning is fun.
MullyandHanley.com is being brought to you by Home Run Inn Pizza, Chicago's original thin crust.
Guys, I'm left, so get on this. You need to get flowers for Valentine's Day. So what you're going to do is you're going to take advantage of this spectacular deal from ProFlowers.com. The amazing rose deal that I've been talking about has been extended. So you get 24 assorted roses, decadent chocolates, a free glass vase for $29.99 from Pro Flowers. Or you can really impress her and upgrade to 24 long stem assorted roses, chocolates, and an upgraded cherry vase for just $9.99 more. Go to ProFlowers.com. Use my code Bernstein, BERNSTEIN. It's ProFlowers, so you know you can trust their quick, easy delivery on Valentine's Day, which is guaranteed. Can't beat the price. You can't beat the convenience. Do this before it's too late. And we really are getting close to that idea of it being too late. And these are guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. Go to ProFlowers.com right now. Click on the blue microphone in the top right corner and type in Bernstein. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic. Type the code BERNSTEIN. This offer has been extended through tonight or when supplies run out. So order today.
Cassidy, Tire and Service.
Tires, service, all in one place. Cassidy Tire and Service is the one stop to keep your vehicle running right. Cassidy is Chicagoland's tire experts. We stock a perfect match to your car, truck, van, or SUV, all at low, competitive prices that will fit your budget, too. Little changes can make a big difference in your car's performance. Cassidy can swap out your old air filter in just minutes. Stop in now and save on any new Delco battery in stock. Change out your old wiper blades. Plus, Cassidy can save you money on your next oil change, brake service, coolant flushes. For tires and service made Simple. Remember,
don't just buy tires, buy Cassidy.
Cassidy, Chicago's tire and service with 15 convenient Chicagoland locations. Family owned and operated since 1914.
So let our family take care of your family.
Visit CassidyTire.com today.
Cassidy Tire and Service.
CBS Monday.
Surprise!
Spend some time with Mike and Molly.
Where you been all day?
It's your mother's.
I thought that was where fun went to die.
America's favorite couple.
A romantic little story about two people who meet in Chicago.
Aw, that's us.
Oh, God, no.
And there's more laughs.
You're like a boxer.
Because I want to punch you in the face?
Than ever before.
That's the world I want to live in.
Don't miss Mike and Molly.
Oh, it's going to be so great.
CBS Monday.
CBS Tuesday.
My favorite TV shows are on Tuesdays.
America's favorite agents.
Tony DiNozzo, friend of the ladies.
Are on the case.
Allow me to work my way from the horrific to the curious.
See why NCIS is TV's number one show.
I'm impressed.
Let's go.
Just because I make it look easy doesn't mean it is.
This is exciting stuff.
That's not nothing.
No, that's something.
NCIS, Tuesday, only CBS.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever?